Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a happy Monday to you. Well, here's a question for you. Do you believe that God has a next place of promise for you? Do you believe that God has a next place of promise for you? Do you care that He wants you to grow in strength and maturity and grace and influence? And did you know that it's easy to confuse apathy with contentment? They're not the same thing. They come from a totally different place. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, godliness is that forward-moving faith. It's an intimacy with God. It's getting a vision about the future while being faithful in the present. That's great gain. But apathy, passivity, it's saying, you know, I'm going to trade my birthright for a bowl of soup. It's a little bit easier to sit here on the couch of ease and not engage, to be a spectator in this Christian thing versus being on the field and getting some skin in the game. We're going to talk about what it means to trust God, that He indeed has a next place of promise for you, which means He's using your current battles and your obstacles to train you so that you can stand in the next place that He has for you. So excited to welcome back Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, pastors of Substance Church here in the Twin Cities. Peter's got an amazing book, Broken Escalators, Funny and Frightful Lessons About Moth Eating and Moving to the Next Level. What's that about, you say? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned for the whole hour. It is fantastic. It's about being promotable. Here again, I'm at the doctor's office. I've read through this book several times, and I laughed out loud in front of people in the waiting room. There's laugh-out-loud moments in this book, but great content as well. Second hour, it's another edition of Songs and Verses. We do this once a month, where we ask you, what passages of Scripture is God using in your life that are just speaking to you these days, and what songs are ministering to you? And we'll play some songs, take your calls, and hear your verses. So super excited about that as well. Before we get Peter and Carolyn on, I want to say a big shout-out to our friends listening in on Faith 1290 in Hartford, Connecticut. We want to hear from you. Welcome, welcome to the Faith Radio family. So honored to be doing this journey with you. And we do have a tradition on Live the Promise where whenever we add a new market, the first person to email me from that market, we're going to send you a gift pack of books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And we just, if I hear from you during this hour, I'm going to throw in one of Peter's books. I'm feeling generous. I love giving away other people's stuff. So this is how it's going to work. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you're listening in from Hartford, give me your mailing address and we'll send you a stack of really, really great books. Okay. My first hour guest today writes this. Sometimes it feels like everyone's dreams are coming true, except yours. Your idiot friend lands a dream job and spouse. Fertile Myrtle gets pregnant again. And there we are, panting our way up the broken escalator, knowing that it shouldn't feel this difficult, and desperately hoping God will jerk our stairway back into motion. Might I suggest there's more at play here? Perhaps God is concerned with something far greater than building your dreams. Perhaps His dream is to build you. Buckle up. This is going to be a great conversation. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Peter and Carolyn Haas are the founding pastors of Substance Church in Minneapolis. Peter serves on the lead team of the Association of Related Churches. His books include Pharisectomy and the one we're unpacking today, Broken Escalators. He and his wife have three children, and they have an influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Pastors Peter and Carolyn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Always love having you on the show. So appreciate all that you're doing. And let me ask you this question. I know you both love God's word, and we'll do ladies first if that's okay. Is there a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days you can share with us?
Absolutely. In fact, I was actually, I texted my oldest daughter, who's 15, this verse the other day, because she's 15 and she's got lots of dreams and she's dreaming about her future, and yet she's a student and she's really hardworking at school and kind of gets stressed out with getting good grades. And so I actually just texted her this scripture, Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. The chapter continues, but I love verse 6. It ends with, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And it was just so fun for me as a mom to even encourage my daughter who's in ninth grade and just say, hey, I know there's a lot of voices out there on social media and culture, and there's a lot of places you can listen to, even what defines success and what defines where you're going in life. But listen, if you're planted with the Lord and if you're not hanging around with crazy thinkers and mockers and people that are cynical towards God and cynical towards the Bible, like, that's not only will you be successful and prosperous, but he watches over your path. And she was so encouraged.
That's amazing. And one thing I was thinking about that passage, Carolyn, a while back is when we think about sitting in the seat of scoffers, it, of course, speaks to who we're hanging with. But I've realized it also speaks to who we're hanging with as far as who we're watching on TV. If you know what I mean? Remember, I mentioned this before on the show, but watching a news a commentator, and I'm a conservative Christian, and he's a conservative. I don't know that he's a Christian, but he's a conservative. But he was a mocker.
Yeah.
And I thought, and the Lord just kind of, my spirit winced in me. I just thought, I can't sit in the seat and watch this. And it's not consistent with who God is in his heart for all mankind.
Right.
And boy, that really can go to great depths, that meaning of that passage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've got to say about Carolyn, I've never once been with her where she hasn't had that Bible right in front of her. I've never been with you once where you haven't had your Bible. Isn't that amazing?
I love my Bible.
You're a fiery woman. I love this girl. Okay, how about you, Pastor Peter?
Well, I'm not as fiery as my wife is, and my Bible isn't quite as dog-eared as she is. But I hang out with her, and
that's good.
That helps.
Osmosis
me.
Is great.
That's what I'm telling you. I catch her spirituality. No, but I do have to eventually dive in myself and get spiritually fed. And I was just even reading this verse the other day, and it's Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." And I thought, wow, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Now, keep in mind, one angel, these are scary powerful. I don't know why people pray to see angels, because according to the Bible, every time somebody sees an angel, they freak out.
Exactly. And they're comatose or something.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the angels, every time they would appear, they would say, do not be afraid. Now, if the first thing out of your mouth is do not be afraid, guess what? You're scary.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You might just have a little acky.
I don't know why people pray to see angels. They're scary. But in the Bible, you think about it, in the Old Testament, one angel put to death over 140,000 people. Wow. I mean, that's how powerful they are. And yet God actually has an angel encamping around me.
Amazing.
That he commands his angels concerning me.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't always feel like God cares, but I want to just encourage people that, listen, no matter what you're going through today, whether you feel like God is close or near, he loves you so much to have an angel encamping around you. And he commands his angels concerning us. And when I think about that, I keep thinking, why am I freaking out about something little, my schedule, whatever it is? I think we all have these burdens that are just kind of weighing us down. And God's up in heaven saying, oh my gosh, if you had any idea how much I care about you, or even the angel that's encamping is thinking, dude, who do you think I am? Like, I'm right next to you. But I think sometimes we're just not God aware enough. And so I just want to encourage everybody to just be aware of God. You may not feel like God is close, but he's closer than you think. And he's actually doing things without us even being aware. That's how much he loves
us. On our behalf. Absolutely amazing. Well, what about the rest of that verse around those who fear him? Let's talk about that for a moment, because there does seem to be a lack of fear, a right fear of the Lord in this day.
Yeah, I think that we a lot of times we want God just to bless us, but we don't understand that, you know, he is calling us to live on his terms.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm always trying to do whenever I'm encountering God is, God, is there anything that you want to tweak inside of me? Not that I'm trying to earn his love, but I just want to make sure that I'm living in sync with God. And I think that really, if we're consciously ignoring God in some area of our lives, we probably do have reason to feel alone, because we're purposefully pushing out God in some area. And I think some people overly worry about that. They surrender to God, mm-hmm. and then they keep thinking, you know, gosh, maybe I should be working harder. And so the best way to even discern that is, you know, when God speaks and wants us to modify certain areas of our lives, he's always very clear, always very specific, which is very, very different than a hazy feeling of condemnation.
Excellent.
And
wow.
So if you feel a hazy feeling like God doesn't love you, that's not God at all, okay? That's the devil just whispering in your ear. But if there is some area where you do need to tweak, then give that area over to God and ask him for his power. And then don't be afraid that he's not for you, because he loves you. He loves you so much.
That is fantastic. This is exactly why we do this every day. Thank you both. You just gave us, you know, a mini sermon. Love it. Love it. Love it. Excellent. Okay. For those who missed our past conversation, Peter, talk about the idea of broken escalators and why that made the title for your book.
Well, you know, I've noticed over the years, as a pastor, I'm constantly getting to hear people's prayer requests. And I think that everybody's got this like dream, this thing that they're obsessing over, this promotion, be it they want to have kids or they want to get, you know, a higher salary, or, you know, they always have this dream. And it always kind of feels like when you're waiting on God for something, it always feels like everybody else gets to their dream faster than we do. I don't know if it's just me where I feel like my life is in slow motion. But you know what I mean? Sometimes it feels like all of our friends, they're zooming up these really fast escalators, and there we are on the broken escalator, slowly panting our way up and thinking, what's wrong with me? Why does it feel like promotion comes faster for everybody? And I just, over the years, once I a lot of times that's an illusion, but a lot of times it's because I think sometimes the greatest evidence of God's love is that he doesn't answer most of our prayers. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but when I started reading the Bible, I noticed so many times that God is a lot of times working on something bigger in our life, which is why he's delaying the answer to our prayers. Some of the things that we want in our lives would actually destroy us, but we don't know it yet. We're not aware of it yet. And so I thought I'm going to write a book on many of the myths of promotion, things that we aren't acknowledging about our prayers that sometimes cause us to obsess over all of the wrong things. And so it's really a book on the myths of happiness, the myths of promotion. What are the things that slow down our promotion? And what are some ways we can speed that up just by getting in sync with God?
Such an important message. And the thing that's we have to remember is there are times storms come. Life does that, right? When an editor friend of mine says, life just keeps lifing you. And that does happen. But there are times we're in storms of our own making because of the story we're telling ourselves, right? Because God's not blessing more. Everybody else is more blessed than I do. And we create angst for our soul. This is why we're going to unpack Broken Escalators. Got 5 copies. So this is how we're going to do it. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Broken Escalators in the subject line. If you have a question for Peter and Carolyn, you can add it there. Otherwise, make sure you include your mailing address. 5 of you. We're going to put your names in a drawing. 5 of you want a copy. More with Peter and Carolyn Huss in a moment. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to pastors Peter and Carolyn Huss in studio. We're taking a drawing from the content of Peter's book, Broken Escalators, Funny and Frightful Lessons About Moth Eating and Moving to the Next Level. This is such a fun book because it's just laugh out loud funny, but rich, rich content about how to be promotable and myths about happiness and promotion. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. This is how we're doing it today. I want to give them as much time as possible, so we're not taking calls, but you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Broken Escalators in the subject line. Include your mailing address. Oftentimes I'll hear from you, but I get no mailing address. And if I could, I would email a hardcover copy of that book, but I can't email you a book. So you got to give me your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Five of you will win a copy. Here's another quote. Quite frankly, some of us have a ridiculous theology of pain and promotion. We still hold fast to devastating misconceptions that happiness is circumstantial, that people can prevent God's promotion, and the worst misconception of all is that we know what makes us happy. Okay, Peter, let's start with that. We know what makes us happy. I think that might be the single greatest source of misery of anything else, right? Like, we think we know.
Yeah, the truth is we don't know what makes us happy. And if you actually study happiness research, well, this will shock people. Only 10% of happiness comes from circumstantial things, okay? So whether you're married or not married, whether you have kids or not kids, whether you're good looking or not, whether you're wealthy or not, whether you live in California or Florida under palm trees, or whether you live up north here in Minnesota, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have all these myths. If you really dive into the research on happiness, all of those things from finances to marriage, circumstantial things, they only affect our happiness by about 10%. And yet, they consume 90% of our prayer lives. When I listen to, what's your prayer request right now? Well, I'm just needing a new job, and I'm just needing, you know, a financial thing. And according to research, actually, those things don't produce happiness. And so it begs the question, well, then what does produce happiness? Well, happiness is not a circumstantial thing. It's a spiritual problem. Ultimately, Psalm 62:1 says, your soul finds rest in God alone.
Your salvation comes from him. I mean, if we can trust him with our eternity, we can trust him with our work schedule, right?
But most of us don't. And that's the problem, is that I think it shows that we still believe the devastating myth that somehow there is a circumstance out there that's going to satisfy us. And obviously, if you know, I've logged enough years on earth to know, even after I got my new car, I wasn't happier, or the new house, I wasn't happier, the new job, I wasn't happier. But a lot of people, they obsess over those things, and as a result, they're constantly on this pursuing these dreams that never end up resulting in the satisfaction they want, because again, happiness is not a circumstantial problem. It's a spiritual problem. Hmm. It's a relationship with God problem.
So that's fantastic. Carolyn, let's talk about this for a moment, in that even when God does answer the prayer, because he's so good, he gives good gifts to his kids. And yes, I would agree, his no's are as much of his love as his yeses.
Yes.
But when we get the job, get the spouse, get the house, it's still in itself not something. It's a flawed answer in that, let's say you work for somebody and you want to own a business. Well, then you've got employees that are cantankerous.
Right.
You know, if
right.
you get a house, you discover mold. I mean, what
right.
I'm saying is,
right.
our completeness is in Christ. So speak to the idea of this angst that's consuming us versus a proper perspective of, even when the answer comes, what we need most, we already have.
Yeah, that's so good, Susie. You know, I think what you're talking about is our expectation management. And I
Excellent.
Think that it fits with our expectations. Because we expect this new thing, new house, new job, to make us happy, when all of a sudden there still is relational tension, there still is responsibility, there's still bills to be paid, there's still cars to maintain and fix, even new cars have maintenance, you know. So that because of that, we all of a sudden re-enter in anxiety and frustration and just realizing that that's not what causes us to be happy.
Yeah, or to put it this way, every dream has a dark side. Every dream has a dark side. When we imagine our dream house, we don't imagine more square footage to clean.
And we didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. When I imagined promotion in my job, I didn't imagine more responsibility or more people asking me for things or harder decisions to make.
Which is why I'm always trying to help people, like, get mentors, get people to speak into your life that have walked ahead of you, so that, you know, the bride who just got married, I warn every bride right as they're about to go on their honeymoon, guess what? You're going to cry on your honeymoon, and it doesn't mean anything went wrong with your wedding or that you made a mistake.
Excellent.
But you just put on a huge conference, practically.
That's right.
And the emotions and the adrenaline of all the family members and 200 to 300 people staring at you, and you're in an expensive dress and you want your hair to be perfect, and okay, I could go on and on and on. The adrenaline, I said, just adrenaline, you're going to crash. So just know that when you
cry and when
you crash, it doesn't mean you made a mistake and you married the wrong person or someone did something wrong at your wedding. And they look at me like, Oh, thank you. Okay, so that's just, I'm just helping them with their expectations. And I think that's where in life we need people. We need good friends. We need mentors. We need people who've gone ahead of us so that when we do get that promotion, when we have that baby, when we get the car, when we get the job, they can say, hey, let me help you walk through this. It's going to be exciting. You're going to fall in love with the new baby. You are going to love your car. You're going to love your house. But guess what? You still have rush hour traffic. That doesn't go away. Hmm. There still are snowstorms. You know what I mean? There still are sleepless nights with a baby and you don't know why they're crying. And so, like, it doesn't mean you regret having the baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But it's that expectation management. Mm-hmm. And that happens in relationship. And I feel like, you know, America right now, people are the most isolated they've ever been. And no matter what season you're in, there's this weird, like, I think it's pride, it's arrogance, it's I don't need people in my life. I can do it on my own. I can figure out on my own. And so we go through life thinking I should intuitively know how to do my job. I should intuitively know how to be married. I should intuitively know. It's like, no, mm-hmm. You don't. You need people in your life.
We need each other. So, Peter, let's talk for a moment about, you know, Willie McDonald calls this training time for reigning time. You're right about this. I'm very passionate about the process prior to promotion. I get women coming to me all the time. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm always saying, lean into the character cleansing that God is doing in your life right now. 9 out of 10, they glaze over and go, no, I just want to write a book. But 1 out of 10, her eyes will well up and she'll say, that's what God's telling me. And I'm like, I can help you. So let's talk about this for a minute. The obstacles, the process, because it's so easy to say, I could do that if it weren't for this.
Yes.
But it's the this that's getting you ready for that.
Right.
And I think when people get offended with God or get cranky because this obstacle is in their way, they actually put themselves back under the discipline of God, and they short circuit the process because of their own attitude towards their obstacles. What do you say?
Well, you know, I love the Bible verse. It's Ecclesiastes 2:26, and it says this: to the man who pleases God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Hmm.
Now, whoa. Think about that, okay? To the man who pleases God, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. Now, if we were smart, our singular focus would be pleasing God. And yet, quite often, our focus is on whatever our dream is. We're obsessed with our dreams. And I sometimes think if we would just fulfill God's dream, which is to please him, then he'll fulfill our dreams. And really, that's kind of how that verse works, which is why I always tell people, don't pray for promotion. Pray for promotability. Don't pray for a spouse. Pray for the character worthy of a spouse. Don't pray for more money. Pray that you would steward your current money well enough so that God could trust you with more. Quite often, it's almost like we're focused on all the wrong things, and our prayer requests actually reveal our promotability. Because in the end, if we're just praying for circumstantial things rather than character or intimacy with God, that in and of itself is a sign we don't even know what makes us happy. It's the very foundation of this relationship with the Lord, is that he alone brings us peace, joy, satisfaction. And until we know how to put him first, God is not going to answer a lot of those prayers, because we would just start bowing down and worshiping the very blessings he's trying to give us.
Yeah, those very blessings from his hand. Someone once said, well, finances journey away from his heart, and he wants us to be ready. We've had Mark Batterson on the show a handful of times, and he often says, deepen your roots and God will broaden your impact. It really is that simple. It's the abiding life, you know, and we've got to remember God is good and he knows where I live. I think if we can believe that,
awesome.
He can find
yes.
us, right? And he can promote us out of utter obscurity, which he does time and time again. Talking to Peter and Carolyn Haas, I see those emails coming in. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you've got a question, a comment, we'll read that on the air. If you want to get in the drawing, include your mailing address. Title of the book is Broken Escalators. You're going to love this book. More with the Haases when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Peter and Carolyn Haas, pastors of Substance Church here in the Twin Cities. Also, Peter's the author of the book Broken Escalators. Some of the things we'll be addressing here in the next two segments are myths about promotion and happiness. For instance, if I don't worry, my dreams won't stay on track. Do you believe that myth? How about this one? Being in control is possible and will cause a lasting feeling of happiness and security. Promotion will make my life easier or happier. Promotion is a circumstantial or locational problem. That's an interesting one. An exceedingly developed talent is the primary ingredient that qualifies me for promotion. We'll address some of those. Now, this is one of the things that made me laugh from Broken Escalators. Peter writes, people ask me why I pray so much. They're hoping I'll share some super spiritual pearl of wisdom. But the main reason I pray is that prayer keeps me from wanting to kill people. I got to keep going. Sorry. This is so funny. I often tell pastors, if you can survive 10 years of pastoring without committing murder, you'll do well in this vocation. And if you mess this up, God always needs more people in prison ministry. Strangely enough, research shows that clergy rank as high as eighth most likely profession for psychopaths. And I'm not kidding. That is a legit research fact. Remember, psychopaths can be charming individuals. So it raises the question, how do you know if your pastor is one of them? Well, here are three possible indicators. One, does he or she hold people underwater extra long during baptism? I'm sorry, that's so funny to me. Does he or she punch people who don't give money to the church? And three, does he or she make children reenact David and Goliath with real weapons? So anyway...
Did I write that?
Did you laugh at yourself when you were writing that?
Oh,
you had to.
I have a lot of fun.
You don't need any other party favors.
Oh,
you got you.
Just me by myself in the room. I am just having a great time.
But when I was helping edit the book, he loved to be in the similar, like a room close by.
Yeah.
And so I'd be reading it and then I would laugh. And he'd go, what did you laugh at? What was funny?
Yeah. Was that on purpose? Yeah.
Was that over the line? I don't know.
Yeah. I love it. And I also love, Carolyn, how you laugh at your hubby. I just think that's the most sweetest thing ever.
She's paid to.
She delivers, let me just tell you.
Good.
All right. So this dear listener wrote in, how has the move into the new building challenged you and made you better leaders? This has been a time and coming again. If you haven't heard our past conversations, they're brand new into a new building and you've had to go to multiple services and you have a whole new team orchestrating traffic and you've had some good problems, but maybe speak to that.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, we moving into this building, we have graduated to the problems we've always dreamed of. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Like I said earlier, when people imagine their dream house, they don't imagine the extra square footage to clean.
Yeah.
And I felt like the Lord kind of delayed our building until he could beat out of me any idolatry that would happen from our building. And thankfully, we now have this building. Oh, it's been incredible to watch God grow our church and expand our church. And, you know, we've literally been almost overwhelmed by even our last two newcomers luncheons. We had a couple hundred people, and at Easter, over 251 salvations. And, you know, these types of things they're super exciting. Of course, it also means more work. It's like wanting to get pregnant and suddenly having triplets. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's more diapers to change now. And, you know, so I think the staff and I are busier than ever. But, in some ways, we're actually thrilled to have new problems. I've noticed over the years that most people, they just want to have a new set of problems every year or two. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
You kind of get sick of the same old problems. And so now the Lord has blessed us with more. But ultimately, it's more servanthood, too. So.
And I bet you have to be fierce with discipline to know when to turn it off. Because when you're experiencing the kind of growth you are, you have to rest. You have to get a good bedtime in. I mean, you know, really basic things so that you can stay encouraged.
Absolutely. And then we fly in. So we just had Pastor Matt and Sarah Keller from Next Level Church in Florida. They were in, and not only did they just really help us and minister to us, but even this morning they spoke for an hour and a half with our staff and just gave the most unbelievable teaching of how do we get to the next level and what systems do we need to create and what questions do we need to be asking and how every one of us has to change, every one of us, that how everything at Substance has changed, so every staff member has to change and every system has to be updated. And there's no blaming of you did it wrong, therefore we're changing. No, we're in a new season as a church, and so we all have to change. And so it was a beautiful, like, clean slate, fresh start. Okay, this is fresh material for us in this new season.
You know, someone once said that when God gets you ready for a promotion, he does have to at times dismantle the foundation so he can rebuild it again.
Yeah.
And that, because you have to be able to handle the infrastructure has to be in place to manage the much or the more that God wants to bring. Another thing, Matt Keller, we've had him on the show a good handful of times, that he said was that when God brings you to a new level of promotion, it exposes a new level of insecurity. We think it's going to prop us up, and sometimes we want promotion for all the wrong reasons, but that will be tested in us.
Yes.
I'd love you to speak to just, you know, that concept of when God does bring you to that next level, you see more of your stuff that has to be dependent on the Lord.
Absolutely. And insecurity is one of those. So whenever an insecurity flares up in me, which is often, I just have my journal and my Bible and I invite God right into it. And I just say, God, what is this insecurity that has just flared up? And, you know, I used to kind of beat myself up again, like, why am I feeling insecure about this? You know, and I just had a really fun revelation. I was hanging out with, again, one of my pastor friends, and we spur each other on towards love and good deeds, as it says in Hebrews. And she was just challenging me and saying, Carolyn, just what Matt Keller said, there's always going to be new insecurities, but it's how fast you deal with them. When that new insecurity comes up, do I let it mess with me for 3 days and have sleepless nights because I'm thinking all these crazy thoughts? Or can I shake it off within 45 minutes and go, wait, no, God, what have you said about me? And you have called me, and this isn't about me. Mm. And it's the presence of God which sets me apart, not my skills, my talent, my
Hallelujah.
Level of education. And so I think about Exodus 33. I think about Moses, and he said, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not leading. I'm not going out from here. And so that has really helped me. And, you know, even God has said, Carolyn, that's available for free. You don't have to get a college education to get the presence of God.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But you have to get on your knees and seek me and be open and broken before me and just keep inviting God into these new seasons and these new emotions and navigating the insecurities.
And isn't that what we want? We want to live lives totally disproportionate to who we are, but we can't get there. We don't get the credit. And the team piece really does matter. I mean, it really matters that we do this in community.
Yeah.
Well, right. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's as simple as that. It's surrounding yourself with people that can take on the journey together. And I've noticed that I'm only as strong as the people that I've surrounded myself with, which is why I'm always trying to make sure that I'm prioritizing friends that will stir me up and sharpen me. And even when it comes to our church staff, choosing staff that will help us, you know, will stir each other up. It's the community that enables us to go where we need to go, which is why in many ways, I don't believe it's possible for us to really apprehend the calling of God on our lives in isolation. It's just impossible. That's why there's something powerful about the local church and the friendships that we can nurture there. But for many of us, it's, you know, church is just something, it's a service we attend, not a community we embed ourselves in. And that's why ultimately the number one statistical predictor of spiritual growth is how many intimate Christian friends you have at any given moment. And when you think about that, like, that's more important than anything. I'm always trying to be choosy because in every new season of life, there's a new set of circumstances that are facing me. And I've got to make sure that I'm always prioritizing the friends who will enable me to fulfill the calling of God on my life.
Mm. You know, I've done a lot of studying on my own of purpose and God's vision for our lives. Just having been on my sickbed in my 20s, I'm audacious and I want to wring every drop out of life. And I know you all feel that way as well. But I've noticed that the two biggest hindrances, I think, for the believer in this celebrity-driven culture are self-ambition and self-preservation. Self-ambition, get ahead of God, I want to make a name for myself, kind of like the Tower of Babel. Or self-preservation, I'm too afraid, and I'm gonna let my fear sabotage just my need to be in control. And Peter, I would love for you to speak to those two things, because I know you both have a passion to see an army mobilized. Speak to the person listening today who maybe has this ambition, and I God untangles that for us as we trust Him, right? But also the one who's got the preservation, who's like, I'm not even taking a risk because I don't want to fail. I don't want people to see me fail.
You know, I think about Moses, how, you know, here is a guy who, according to the Bible, Moses was the perfect leader from the outside. He was educated in the right place. He came from a household of leadership, and he wanted things to happen on a particular timeline. And really, he tried to make it happen when he turned 40, the Bible says, and it resulted in somebody dying. Mm. And next thing you know, he's running off into the wilderness for another 40 years. And now God all of a sudden shows up at the burning bush at 80 years old. Now, the reason why I want to point that out is because I keep thinking about my own life. What if the greatest moments of my life weren't even going to start until I was 80? Am I
Come
cool
on,
with that?
Somebody.
Am I cool with that? Because everything we know about Moses happened after he was 80. And I keep thinking there's so many of us, we're freaking out at whatever age we're at, thinking, I haven't done everything I've wanted to do. And first off, God has a totally different timeline for our lives. And then the funny thing is at 80, he felt he was totally underqualified. Right. At 40, he was overqualified.
Isn't that the truth?
At 80, he was underqualified. And God's
insecure, reluctant, didn't want to lead.
And God's finally like, you're missing the point. It's not about you. Yeah. It's about me and my timeline for you. And if you could just lean into that and just trust me, I've got this. We're going to have so much more fun. It's kind of like trying to control a roller coaster. You can't. So just throw your hands up and just have fun. And if God takes you for a few loop-de-loops, then just laugh about it. You know what I'm saying? And if it's boring, you know, just stop trying to control it and start trying to enjoy it. And I think that that's kind of the whole point in life, isn't it? Right?
Indeed.
We don't.
Yeah.
We really don't control anything.
Well, I think the days that we're in require people that not only have the gifting, but have the undergirding of character and conviction. And courage to stick with it in the storms. I think there was a day in the church in the 80s and 90s where gifting was celebrated at times at the expense of character, because, you know what I'm saying? Because the production became such a big deal. And when we want to do things with excellence, people are dying all around us. And it just feels like we're in the wine press and we need to be. I'd love for you to speak to, just as you've seen people be promoted over the years, knowing the people that you do, what have been some common denominators in their character? Do you know what I'm saying? Things that even you admire in their character, but just the journey that you've seen God have them on.
Well, you know, for a lot of us, we there's certain character attributes that we think we need that make us ready for promotion, and God sees a different perspective. If I could put it to you this way, I think, for example, a lot of people want God to trust them with more finances, but we're not even faithful with the finances we've got. I think a lot of times, you know, like and God's up in heaven saying, yeah, I could answer that prayer. I just found this really interesting that I just found all this research showing that winning the lottery can be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Statistics prove that people who win the lottery have increased odds of divorce, murder, kidnapping, increased odds of depression, increased odds of suicide, and that 70% of all lottery winners go bankrupt within a few years of winning the lottery. Ironically, the more money you win, the more odds are that you will go bankrupt. And those are all research-driven facts. And it's because, listen, opportunity doesn't change your character. It just amplifies and reveals it. And a lot of times, it's just like, it's really the same thing with all types of promotion, which is why now I'm at a point in my life where, you know what? I know that I'm not going to be happier if my church is bigger. I know that I'm not going to be happier if I have a bigger bank account. It's focusing on the right things. And that's why, kind of back to my earlier point, pray less for promotion, pray more for promotability. Pray less for that dream and pray more for the intimacy with God that will enable you to sustain that dream.
In his presence, the fullness of joy is found, really. And we already have that, as you
Amen.
Say.
And some of those character things that we've seen, you know, like even there are certain staff members that we hired because we knew, we've watched them go through several churches through their history, and they were really wrongly hurt and treated. And they didn't turn their back on God, and they're not bitter, and they saw a counselor, and they love Jesus, and they still love the church. And you go, they've been through hardship and they didn't give up. Okay, that's something, that's a character trait.
You
know what
right.
I mean? So that's something I look for in people is they've been through anything hard in life and they're not bitter. They're not blaming God. They're not blaming other people. So I'm always listening. Who are they blaming with anything in life? And if they're on a blame, if they're deferring responsibility, okay, that's a character flaw, you know? And
yeah.
So not judging that person.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
Hey,
it's information kind of what's going on inside.
Right.
We're taking our last break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the myth that an exceedingly developed talent is a primary ingredient that qualifies me for promotion. And we're going to have them unpack that and then really wrap up with just some steps you can take today to be in step with the Lord and to get a vision for what he has for you. Because you know what? Your influence actually really, really does matter. Someone once said, 1,000 people wait on the other side of your obedience. So it's time to be mobilized. It's time to stay in step and take the risks that God has before you, but also to humble yourself as he addresses the character stuff in you, because he's making you wait because he's making you ready. More with Peter and Carolyn Haas when we return. Listen to this amazing quote. Peter Haas writes, "Ultimately, God wants us to live with towering levels of confidence, even in the midst of betrayal. He wants us to be optimistic about the future. Our ability to plan was meant to be bathed in divine optimism, even when we take up our crosses. We were meant to live dripping in the Father's love, saturated in the confidence of His faithfulness. To lack these attributes is to miss the whole point of being born again, to be a child again who doesn't need to worry about anything except obedience." That just makes my heart beat faster. That's from Broken Escalators. We have Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio today. So glad to welcome your questions. You can email me. We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. So if you email, that doesn't guarantee a book. Give me your mailing address. You'll go in a drawing. 5 of you will win a copy. Susie@myfaithradio.com. This dear listener writes, "I have a question. Would love your thoughts on this. I try to be good and not sin. I know we are sinners. How does God want us to live our lives day to day and not totally stress and focus on sinning every minute since we are forgiven? How is my brain supposed to think from day to day? I hope you can understand what I'm asking. God bless her."
I think that is an incredible question.
Isn't it?
And I love it because I love it. And my first thought would be, it comes from 1 John 4:19, and it says that we love because He first loved us. So our ability to even love God and loving God is obeying Him and is because we first have to receive His love. So I always say to people, if you're having a hard time loving God, if you're having a hard time obeying Scripture, then it's just because you haven't received enough of His love. Mm-hmm. And so just sit under the faucet of His love.
Amen.
And just sit and receive and receive and just let Him pour His, because once you are filled with His love, you can't help but then love and serve. It's a natural response. And so, you know, we always say Christianity is not a list of actions of do's and don'ts. It's a response to Christ's love. And so I think about Matthew chapter 10. Verse 8, and I love this because Jesus says, He goes, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons." And then He says, "Freely as you have received, freely give." What is He saying there? Like, before you can do these things, do what's happened to you. So if you've received healing, now minister healing to other people. If you've received forgiveness, now you can forgive others. But you can't forgive others and you can't help people walk through healing if you have not received that yourself. So again, there's no condemnation for people. Mm-hmm. It's a red flag that goes, oh, I just need to receive more. I need to receive more of God. And so even when it comes to Bible reading, I always tell people, it's not, you don't read the Bible because God's going to get mad at you if you don't. And it's just, now you're on His good side. Like, honestly, if I don't read the Bible, my thinking is crazy. I literally start thinking crazy
Can
thoughts.
Can I get an amen?
I'm telling you,
yeah.
I get anxious. I get insecure.
Me too, yeah.
I get fearful. I just start getting overwhelmed. And I mean, I went 4 days without reading the Bible. You know, I was in England and I was doing 15-hour days working with pastors and it was this awesome experience. But I didn't get into the Bible and I noticed all these just little weird thoughts. And I started journaling like, where is this coming from? Hmm. And I got into my Bible and it was like, oh, these thoughts are not of God. Hello, mm. I know that, but I just need it to cleanse me. And so that would be my encouragement to you is just, again, it's not out of to make God happy. It's just so you don't think crazy thoughts.
Love that. You know, Scripture talks about fix your thoughts, fix your eyes on Christ. And we walk by faith, not by sight. And I feel like if you think of falling, you're going to fall. If you think of flying, you're going to fly. I mean, just before the show, we were all talking about we hope we don't cough. And then we started to cough. So don't you feel like, Peter, that if she concentrates, I hope I don't sin, she'll sin. But if she concentrates on what Christ accomplished, she'll be called up to respond.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, a lot of times I like to call it the sin-focused versus the treasure-focused life. And this is where it comes from. Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." In other words, he found something so valuable, so incredible. It says, in his joy, he went and sold all he had to buy that field. And that's a metaphor for Christ. When we find Christ, who is the treasure, you don't get you get rid of anything that holds you back, also known as sin, because a holy God is incompatible with sin. But it doesn't say that he did it out of reluctantly or out of obligation or because his parents made him or because it was the right thing to do. No, it says in his joy went and sold all he had. I actually believe that getting sin out of our lives is actually the most joyful process
Amen.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we do it out of obligation or reluctantly or under compulsion, it's a sign we haven't even experienced the treasure yet. And so the idea is not to, whenever I find myself doing anything out of obligation, it's a sign I'm not beholding the treasure. God has something so amazing for me that if I could comprehend it, this would be nothing. I would quit these things, these behaviors, or I would start these behaviors in a second. And so it's really all about having a treasure focus, not a sin focus. Otherwise, we're missing the whole point.
Mm. But let me share something really interesting. So I love my Bible. I read it all the time, but I've been reading it since I was 8 years old. And so sometimes I get very accustomed to the fact that I know this thing pretty well. And I took my daughter a couple years ago to a health class because she was in middle school, and she's like, "Mom, I want to learn how to eat healthy." And I thought, this is good. I need to eat healthier. And so we went to this delightful girl, and she taught the most amazing, life-giving, you know, class on healthy eating. And there was no condemnation, you know, even though she really discouraged diet soda, I still like diet soda. So instead of drinking, you know, five a week, now I drink one, you know. So, but there was no condemnation, and she was just baby steps. Okay, so she gave us all of these handouts and all this information of what's a protein, what's a fat, what's a carb, and we're supposed to do this combination for every meal, and it was awesome. I walked away like, wow, it was life-giving. She made it sound easy. She was inspiring. And then I got home, and I just looked at the handouts, and I got overwhelmed, and I went, wait, is a nut a protein or a carb or I don't know.
How do I do this?
And I thought, shoot, I'm a picky eater. And then I went, I need to take the list of the 20 things that I really like, and then I need to go back and help her go, okay, which one's a protein, fat, and a carb, so I can make a little, you know. And I just gave up because I was really overwhelmed. And in that moment, the Lord said, Carolyn, that's how people feel when they come to church. They come to, you know, a life-giving church. They come, and they're inspired, and they're like, I want that Jesus they're talking about, you know, or they're listening to your radio show, and they're going, I want this peace and this joy. It sounds so easy for them. But you know what? They need someone to come alongside. And that's why we have the local church. That's why we have friendships and small groups, is so that you come alongside and I can say, let me show you how I read the Bible.
Yeah.
Let me show you how, when I'm anxious, this is how I worship, and this is how, and let's do it together.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
That makes great, great sense. We're going to be praying here in a couple of minutes. That's fantastic. So, Peter, let me ask you about this with our last couple minutes before we pray here. We're talking about talent. Talent matters, I mean, as far as what our giftings are, that we should hone our craft. We want to do well. But it's not just gifting that God promotes. He really is looking at the heart. Speak to that person today who maybe is focused a lot on their gift and wondering why the promotion still hasn't come.
Well, I mean, you read the Bible. I mean, God will promote character over talent any day. And he does that over and over and over again. You see the story of King David versus King Saul. King Saul looked the part. He looked like a leader. He was tall. He was handsome. He had all these, you know, worldly attributes. And yet God eventually had to demote him and replace him with somebody who had character. And David, what was funny about David is he pulled David out of a sheep field because he had the right character. When you have the character that God wants, there's nothing that will stop you from the promotion that God has. And I remember even as a young pastor, I would work on my preaching gift so much. And for years and years and years, I wanted to, I would get kind of jealous. I would deal with jealousy because I'd have friends that would get, you know, book opportunities or speaking opportunities. And the Lord knew that I needed to just sit on the bench for a lot longer and just sit. And I probably delayed the very promotion that God had for me because I wasn't focused on the right thing. Again, I was focused on promotion rather than promotability. The truth was, there were certain things in my life that I had not really dealt with yet, even financially, even other things. Over the years, God, right before he promotes us, he always tests us. And I think about how even not too long ago, the Lord tested my wife and I on our generosity, and he wanted us to step it up, but we weren't ready. So, but, you know, we eventually had to pass that test. And I believe that once we focused on character, God was like, finally, they're ready.
I love it. We're going to be wrapping up here and going to hour two. Can I ask you, I'm totally putting you on the spot, so feel free to say no, but can you hang over to the beginning of our second hour?
Sure, sure.
And we'll be going into songs and verses, but I'd just love to ask you a few more questions and maybe find out what songs are speaking to you these days that we can pull up and try to play. So we're going into hour two here in just a moment. Peter and Carolyn Haas are going to hang with us for a few more minutes. I'm going to ask them to pray for you on the other side. We'll find out what songs they're loving these days. And how about you? What songs are speaking to you? Give give us a call, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Is there a verse that God's been speaking to you about? If you're driving and you don't know the reference, just tell Grace kind of the gist of it and we'll pull it up. Or a song, and you can email me as well, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. Hour 2 is coming up next.